Okay, I wanted to share with you something that actually had a lot to do with the Parsha, but I was joking at the beginning of the drasha this past Shabbos. We recently returned from a trip to Eretz Yisrael for about 4 days with twins, and many people thought we were crazy. Okay, valid perspective. Other people said to me, there's something different about the air in Eretz Yisrael. And I made a joke about the fact that our guest speaker, who was coming from Eretz Yisrael, indeed had a different air quality when he arrived in New York, Baruch Hashem. But the Gemara actually makes this point and says, "Avir da ari Yisrael machim." There's something about the air in Israel that is machim, like lashon of chachmah. It adds to a person's wisdom. It enlightens a person. I want to spend a couple minutes just discussing what exactly is this about and how it relates to the parsha. So, for starters, interesting. It seems to have a very practical application. It isn't necessarily something that I can guarantee will help you, you know, at the Technion or at Hebrew U. But Rav David Cohen, the famous Nazir, the Talmud of Rav Kook, notes that this concept appears in the Gemara in Bava Basra. I think it was Rav Zeir. Rav Zeir moved from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And when he got there, he understood certain sugyas that he did not understand when he was back home in his birthplace in Babylonia. And he commented, "Oh, Avir Dar Yisrael Makim, must be that the something about the air in Eretz Yisrael that that allows me to understand and to apprehend whatever it was that he couldn't fully understand back home." And we have many expressions of this, even in a practical sense. The Chupas Ruach Chaim by Reb Chaim Palagi discusses why it is that we find there were certain levels of authority that were assigned to the Talmid Chachamim, the Sanhedrin, the Dayanim, the judges in Eretz Yisrael, that did not was not extended to those in Bavel. There's certain types of judgments and pronouncements that are not entrusted to Talmid Chachamim in Bavel, even though Bavel and Talmud Bavli seem to have a certain degree of authority as well, but there were certain degrees of precision that were not entrusted to the people in Bavel, and therefore the halacha is not to give them that authority. Likewise, I found in the Pirush of Rabbeinu Yohanan on the Rif, at the beginning of Hachovel, Kevin Chein Dabim Ksuvim, Vyaduim El Abriyas Bezdin, Tsarashu Bezdin Mumchen, Deschus Eretz Yisrael Mesaitan, Lashum Oso Kedin Vakalacha. The term over here is that certain evaluations will be made accurate only by judges in Eretz Yisrael because the Schus of Eretz Yisrael assists them in coming to the proper conclusion. Very interesting. Another application of this in Siman Kufnun Hey, in Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah, talks about what you should do after you finish davening, and it says after she yotzei beis hakneses yelech lebeis hamedrash v'yikba eis lomo. You should go from tefillah to a little bit of learning. This is going mechayel el chayel, from one strength to another strength, and this siman talks about how a person should carve out a little time before they go off to work. And the Mishnah Berurah comments in the Bir Halacha that you should try, if at all possible, to learn b'chabura in a group of people because there's more kvod shamayim, and he says, better also not to learn by yourself. A person learns with a chavrusa. The Gemara says in Makos, if a person learns by himself, it's very easy for them to come to incorrect conclusions. Cherev al abadim, there's a sword against the necks of those who learn by themselves. The Tshuva Salmas Chaim, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, the Rabbi of Yishalayim, the early part of the 20th century, says that that does not apply to someone who's learning in Eretz Yisrael. Quotes from the Ivitz accordingly. Very interesting. So a person's capacity to learn and arrive at the same conclusion, even when he's by himself, is elevated when they're in Eretz Yisrael. The most perplexing thing that I ever came across is that reportedly Rav Kook denied the whole concept. Rav Kook said it's true. The Gemara says Avir Dar Yisrael Machim, but where is that found? Right, we said before Rav Zera came to Eretz Yisrael and he suddenly understood the sugya. In Bava Basra talks about the Yerushas Haaretz, how they divided up the land amongst the different shvatim. So Rav Kook understood that it wasn't a magical power you have and come to the basement of Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to understand something better. It's that he saw the physical topography, he saw the geography, he saw what the land looked like, so it all came together because he had that real-life exposure to what the focus of the discussion was. Very interesting to hear that from Rav Kook. What does this all begin with? How do we arrive at the Koach given to Eretz Yisrael? This formal comments in Parshas Noach, he says the reason is because the Mabul never got to Eretz Yisrael. The climate was not impacted negatively in Eretz Yisrael in the same way it was in the rest of the world, and therefore Avira, it's actually the air, it's the ecosystem. It happens to be the Sforno has a few comments about how nature changed or did not change. He says in Parshas Noach that the axis that the earth spins on today is the result of the Mabul. Before, it was like San Diego, all over the world, all year round, because the way that the earth rotated was, you know, just kept the whole world at a nice, comfortable temperature the whole year round, and the Mabul threw that off. So he says also Eretz Yisrael was not affected, while the rest of the world did lose some of that rarefied air. Eretz Yisrael did not. Very interesting. The Marsha, it's quoted in the name of Marsha, says that it's actually the product of Moshe Rabbeinu looking at Eretz Yisrael before he died. Something about having that re'iyah, taking that that view of the land before he died, imbued it with the kedusha. And that's why it was so important for Hashem to, you know, it's always funny when you think about it. Hashem says, I think on 5 or 6 occasions at the end of Bamidbar and Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going to go in Eretz Yisrael, but come on up to the mountain and take a look. It's Hashem was like sticking it to him and like rubbing, salt on top. Very, very hard to understand. So here, this pshat is that no, Moshe Rabbeinu had a certain koach that he could give something to the land for all generations by looking at it. The Shlomo writes that the reason why Yehoshua is called Yeshua bin Nun is because when he brought the people into Eretz Yisrael, he gave them Nun. What is Nun? 50. He gave them access to the 50 levels of wisdom that one can only apparently access in Eretz Yisrael. Finally, we find a story recounted in the Sefer Daf al Daf when the Imre Emes, one of the Ger Rebbes before the war, came from Poland, spent some time in Eretz Yisrael, and he came back, and his Chassidim said to him, Rebbe, there must be something that you took home from the Avir Da'ar Yisrael. And he said to him, you're right. But the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, Siyag l'chachma shtika. So true, I gained some chachma, but a wise person keeps quiet. So there, you know, for the Ger Rebbe, there must have been something, some of the secrets of Torah that he could not reveal to others. Just want to conclude, the reason why I want to mention this is a fascinating svarna. We mentioned this svarna before. Svarna in this week's Parsha, Rav Gifter notes that if you look at Rashi says there's a pretty graphic description of how the Meraglim were punished. Check it out yourself. It's if you just had dinner, it's not to share right now. But he said the Sforna says differently. The Sforna says Pu'ulas Avir Ha'aretz Haisam Lazara Umesu Tekev. There was something about what they inhaled in Israel when they were there that when it affected them back now, reporting to the Jewish people in the wilderness, something about what they had inhaled ate them up inside, and that's what destroyed them. So Rav Gifter says it's beautiful. The very next pasuk says. Yoshua ben Nun, v'Kalei ben Yefuna, chayum en hanoshim ha'im. Yoshua and Kalei, in contrast, they lived. They survived, meaning that there was something about the air in Eretz Yisrael that they breathed that not only did not affect them, but actually gave them and sustained their life force. And Rav Gifter says, it must be that the chay hanoshamos, the energy, the spirituality that comes from that air, it's actually a reflection of a line from a poem by Rabbi Yehuda Levi, the Kuzari, one of the most famous lovers of Eretz Yisrael, Chaye Neshamos Avir Artzicha. Says to God, the life force of the Neshamos is the air of Eretz Yisrael. So I think that's what that person meant, you know, when they said to me, oh yeah, it's a good thing you went for a couple days because the air in Eretz Yisrael is different. Absolutely.